I heard this story some time ago, when I was thinking about preparing for the Mother's Day today, this came to mind. I thought I'd share it with you. It's about a little girl who was going to be in a play at her church, and this was a big deal to her. I mean, it was a big church, and lots of folks were going to be there, and she only had one line, just one line in the whole play, and that line was, "Jesus is the light of the world." But she went over that line and over that line and over. She had it memorized perfectly, just ready for that big night. Got up there on the stage that night, and it came time for her to say her one line. And as often happens in those situations, she got so nervous that she couldn't remember. Well, it happens that her mom was sitting down on the front row. So when her mom realized that she couldn't remember her line, her mom said, just trying to give her a hint, said, "Light of the world." And she didn't understand what her mom said. And she was like, "What?" And her mom said, "Light of the world." And so then she stood herself up real straight, head up high, and she said, "My mom is the light of the world." Well, there are a lot of us who probably think that way about our moms. Our moms are the light of the world. Indeed, they have been that for so, so many of us along the way. Our scripture passage this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, the 15th chapter. I'll be reading verses 21 through 28. You can follow along by reading the words on the screen if you would like. "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this God's holy word. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for mothers everywhere, particularly those who love their families and love their children and are always there for them to encourage and support them in any way they can. We all think so fondly of our moms and appreciate them so very much. Bless them. Wrap them in your loving arms. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When you first hear this story, it seems like it's completely out of character for Jesus, doesn't it? It just doesn't seem like something that Jesus would do. This is the only time that I know of when Jesus traveled outside of Palestine and outside of the Jewish territory. And quite frankly, Jesus traveled outside of those territories to get away from the Jewish leaders, particularly the Pharisees, who were just a thorn in his side. They just never let up. They were always pushing and always pushing. So he needed some time away. But even when he left that area, there were still those who needed him. There were still those who sought him out. There were still those who came to him asking that the needs in their lives be met. In this particular case, a woman came to him who had a daughter that the scriptures say was demon-possessed. Now, in all likelihood, she was mentally ill, and probably very severely mentally ill at that. And she had had a lifetime of dealing with this illness, and she desperately wanted help for her daughter. And she had heard that Jesus was the one that could heal her daughter. And so she came there hoping beyond hope that Jesus could heal her daughter, and for the very first time her daughter could be well. And so she came to him and asked, "Jesus, would you heal my daughter?" Now, the first response that Jesus had was to say nothing at all. Doesn't that seem odd? Jesus said nothing at all. As a matter of fact, the disciples were so embarrassed by his not responding that they said, "Look, do something. help this woman in some way and help get rid of her. Now, they were not being compassionate at all. They were not compassionate about this woman. They just wanted to get her out of the way. Jesus, just do whatever you need to do to help her and get her out of our sight, is what they were saying, basically. You see, she was a Gentile. She was from an old Canaanite family that were longtime enemies of the Jews. But lest you think that Jesus' silence was any indication that he was discriminating against her in any way or that he was not compassionate for her, you're wrong. I fully believe that Jesus was simply putting this woman's faith to the test, trying to find out more about her, more about her belief, more about the kind of person she was. Now, if you look at verse 26, that seems particularly harsh, doesn't it? Because Jesus said, "You mean I should take the bread from the children and throw the bread to the dogs?" Now, what did he mean by that? He meant taking the bread from the chosen people, take the bread from the Jewish people and give those to the Gentiles. "You mean I need to do that?" Now, at that point, the woman could have easily been offended. Easily could have been offended. She could have backed away and said, "Okay, enough is enough. I'm not going to take any more of that." But she didn't do it, did she? She came right back to him. "Even the dogs have to eat. Even the dogs eat the food from the table." She kept on. She kept on in this conversation. She was determined to get help for her daughter. That's the kind of person she was. As we celebrate Mother's Day today, we are celebrating mothers like this all over the world who love their children unconditionally and are there for them no matter what and are going to be there to see that their best interest is met if they possibly can. I think this mother in our story today had a profound love for her child. I don't think anybody could doubt that. She loved her child with this amazing love that only mothers can have for their children. As I was preparing for this sermon, I read that her child's misery had become her misery. And isn't that the case for a mom or even a dad? When our children are hurting, we're hurting. When they're happy, we're happy. We feel what they feel because they're so much a part of who we are. In this case, this woman's love for her children motivated her to do whatever she had to do to get help for her child. I don't know of anything more powerful than the love of a mother for her child or children. I really don't. I don't know anything in the world more powerful than that. I wish that all mothers loved their children the way this mother did. It's sad to say that not all mothers do. Most do, but we know some moms that are not that loving. They're not that caring. Some that are even abusive to their children. In fact, one of the most difficult conversations I ever had in my life was with a young teenage girl who had been passed from one foster home to another foster home. She had come out of an abusive home. Her mom had abused her. Her mom's boyfriends had abused her. She just had a terrible life, gone from one foster home to another. And she told me in that conversation, she said, "You know, all I've ever wanted in my life is just to be loved." She said, "That's all I've ever wanted." Well, my dear friends, I know that all good moms love their children. And they never hesitate to share that love and to say they love them and to show that love for their children. That's the way good moms operate. Fortunately, the mom in this story was a good mom, who was a loving mom and cared about her daughter and was willing to do whatever she had to do. She never abandoned her daughter. She certainly was never abusive toward her. She was there to get healing for this daughter she loved so much. I've never been on a medical mission team. I know many of you have been. But there's several things that I really admire and appreciate about medical mission teams. When the groups come back, first of all, I'm inspired by those in the medical profession who go so freely and give so freely of their time to go in these remote areas all over the world to help people who couldn't get help otherwise. But you know what else I appreciate about it is when I see the pictures that they take while they're there, and particularly the moms who have carried their children in their arms in many cases, walked for miles and miles and miles in very primitive conditions to get there so that their children could have medical care, could have dental care, could have that kind of care. John Kirkpatrick, I know you know about that, don't you? having been on these dental mission trips. You've seen moms bringing their children in and doing whatever it takes to get them the help that they need. You see, being a good mom is not something unique to this community. It's a worldwide thing. There are wonderful moms all over the world who love their children and who deeply, deeply care for them. It is a gift from God. It is a gift from God that mothers love their children in such a special way. And I also believe that this woman was extremely, extremely persistent. She was not going to take no for an answer. It didn't matter. She was there to get healing for her daughter, and she was not going to back down. She was not going to back away until she got what she came for. She was not going to be denied. Nothing was going to stop her. Nothing was going to discourage her from getting help for her daughter. I read a story some years ago about a man named Tom Carter. Now, I never met Tom Carter, but apparently he was a very severe alcoholic. Drank himself into a drunken stupor almost every day of his life. But he happened to have a very loving mom who was also a very devout Christian. And many nights he would come into his house and just pass out on the bed or pass out on the couch. And his mom would pull up a chair and sit beside him and rub his brow or rub his hair and pray for him every single day. And she not only prayed that he would be healed of his alcoholism, but she prayed that he would be converted and become a Christian. And she even prayed that maybe God one day would call him to be a minister. Well, as fate would have it, he was arrested for some drunken driving charge or whatever and was put in prison because he had multiple offenses. And she was sad by that, but the saddest part was she got a call one day saying her son had died in prison. And she was just devastated because she had prayed so much for his healing, and she even got angry about it. God, how could you let that happen? But it was a terrible mistake, and they called her back a couple of days later and said, no, it was not your son. Your son did not die. She continued to pray for him. And while he was in prison, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He may have done that anyway, but I believe it was because of the love of that mom, never giving up on him, always forgiving him, always loving, always praying for him, that he was converted. And when he left prison, he began taking steps to go into the ordained ministry, and he became a powerful preacher, a very effective preacher who always said, it was my mom. It was my mom's prayers, never giving up on me, never giving up, always believing that one day my life would be changed. I believe that most of us in this room today would say the same thing, that we are here today because of our moms, because our moms loved us so much and cared so much for us and were always there for us and would never be denied and were always persistent and always loved us and always cared for us. I had an encounter some years ago in Houston, Texas with a man who was very, very successful. He had an office in a big high-rise building in Houston, Texas. He was a multimillionaire and also a wonderful man, a very gentle, kind, sweet man. And oftentimes when I'm with people like that, I like to find out what is the secret to their success. And so I asked him, I said, what is the secret to your success? How did you get where you are today? He was in his early 40s and already a multimillionaire. And without even hesitating, he said, it's because of my mom. And I thought, that's not the answer I expected to get. I thought you were going to say you went to this great university or you had all these great opportunities that most people don't have. He said, no, it's because of my mom. Because my mom believed in me so strongly and prayed for me every day. That's exactly why I am where I am today, because of her. We understand that, don't we? We can relate. All of us in this room can relate to that. And then finally, we clearly know that this was a woman of faith. There's no doubt about it. We don't even know her name. We don't even know her name, but we know she was a woman of faith. She believed. She believed that Jesus had the power to heal her daughter. Now, whether she had that much faith before she met Jesus or after, I don't know. But she had faith when she was in his presence. She believed that Jesus had the power to heal her daughter. She was a woman of faith. What a blessing people like that are. When I teach the course on Methodism, I always like to talk about Susanna Wesley, the mother of John Wesley, who went on, by the way, to found the United Methodist Church. If John Wesley was alive today, Tom, don't you imagine he'd probably say that the reason I was successful is because my mother, Susanna Wesley. She had 19 children. Not all of them lived, but she had 19 children. And it was said that every day, she taught them the Bible. Every day, she prayed with them. Every day, she shared her faith. I believe that John and Charles Wesley and the other children, too, would say that Susanna Wesley was a primary force for good in their lives. And I believe that many of us would say the same thing today. Well, I'd like to close my sermon this morning by sharing, I think, a beautiful story about two women who were sitting on a park bench together one day. And one of the two women had two little children, just beautiful children, out there playing on the playground. And the other woman had no children at all. And the woman who had no children turned to the woman who had two little children and said this to her. She said, "You know, I would give my life to have two such beautiful children." And the one who was the mother to the two beautiful children said, "My dear friend, that's exactly what it will cost you. That's exactly what it'll cost you. Your life." But then she hastened to say, "It's a very small price to pay for the greatest joy in all the world." You will give your life for your children, but it's a small price to pay for the greatest joy in all the world. Today we honor mothers who love their children and their families so profoundly, who never give up on the welfare of their children, who never give up, and who devote their lives of faith to serving their children, those that God has entrusted to their care. Thanks be to God for moms like that. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice and give thanks for so many wonderful women who are moms and who love their children so devotedly, those who give their lives as a sacrifice in many ways for their children. We pray your blessings upon them, that you might love them and empower them and strengthen them to do amazing things for others. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.